Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
God will trust the person who knows how to manage his resources. You better get that in your mind. You are not the owner. You are the manager. God is the owner. He is the Lord of all. The word Lord means owner. So God is the landlord of everything you have.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for continuing to join us for Revive Radio. We pray this recent sermon series has been a blessing to you. Let's continue in this sermon series. This is Leading in a Crisis, Part 3. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
Hear what I'm telling you. New strategies, new thoughts. There are people right now who a few days ago were not thinking anything about building and making these masks for people. But now they have got a business that's going that they're building masks and all kinds of stuff that's taking place. Out of a crisis is coming new leadership, new ideas, new thinking. I came to tell you right here at this church, we've branched out to do things that we've never done before just like this. Most every other pastor is doing the same thing. You know why? Because the crisis has forced us to move and let go of some of our traditional ways of thinking in order to manage the new anointing that's coming upon the life of people. Hear what I'm telling you. I want to say this and make a declaration to you. It might be on your paper, it might not. Get this in your spirit. The anointing has left the jawbone. He picked that jawbone up and whipped 1,000 Philistines with it. But when the anointing had lifted from that jawbone. Listen to what the scripture says. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heap upon heaps, and the jaw of an ass made slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking, he made this declaration, telling the story, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and made a declaration of what that location was. You never see Samson picking that jawbone up again, because in that season, he managed it well and slew the enemy. But when the anointing lifts off of it, it's time to move on. Come on, somebody. Traditions are good. We've got traditions, but they're there for a season. What worked 6 months ago for church is not working right now. If you're still expecting everybody to show up in your auditorium, they're not coming. So now you got to figure out, how are we going to manage in this season? Business owner, what am I going to do? I'm getting reports of business owners that are saying, you know what? I've got this crisis going on over here, but it's opened up a whole new line of business over here. Listen, crisis comes generally to destroy our traditions and force us out of the nest to fly. These are some things I don't have on your paper. I'm just going to shoot them to you real quick. Your future in work is that you should think beyond your job. If all you're doing is your job, you're missing your work. They can fire you from your job, but they can't fire you from your work. There is no future in just having a job. The future is in the hands of the one who holds the job, so you can create your own business into your work, what God's called you to do. Write this down. It's on your paper. Management is, by definition, the effective, efficient, correct, and timely use of God-given resources with an expectation of added value and accountability. Now, let me break it down for you right here. Write this down. Number one in this particular definition for you, management is the effectiveness of what you're doing. Effective, it means to use it for the original purpose, the original intent. So if I take a hammer and I try to use it like a screwdriver, it's not going to work. You use it for what the purpose is, otherwise you abuse it. If you don't use it for its original purpose, you abuse that thing. Secondly, the efficient. What does that mean? It means applying the maximum benefit. In other words, whatever that it is, if I'm managing it correctly, I should maximize the use of that. And just because that it may have a little rust on it, don't mean that it's been maximized. If you pick up your tools and get them out of the rain, you won't have that rust. Knock the rust off and go ahead and do it. Listen, some of you said, I just need a new pair of shoes. Wear the ones you've got right now. Take out a polishing rag and polish those things and put them back on and keep on wearing them. Management. Management is the effective, efficient, and correct use for the proper purpose. What do you mean by that? He wants us to use it correctly. God, what is your intended purpose for my life? What's your intended purpose for what you gave me? When somebody gives you some blessing in your life, have you asked God, Lord, what do you want me to use this resource for? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then he says, management is the timely use. In other words, there is a season for everything in your life. Are you managing it and recognizing, is this the time to do this or should I wait? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The maximum timing. Now, let me take you a little deeper right here in this management thought. Management, we're talking about leading in a crisis here now. Management requires self-discipline, knowledge, and wisdom. Now, I am not saying that people don't have knowledge and wisdom outside of the Word of God. But I will tell you this, that knowledge all comes from God. That wisdom all comes from God. So why go to a resource when you can go to the source? Go to the source and get wisdom that comes from God. In fact, he says, when you're getting wisdom, ask for understanding. And all of your getting, get understanding. Lord, I don't know all that's going on, but here's what I was reading just the other day. And this is so important because it's tied to plagues and pestilence in the book of Amos, chapter number 3. He makes this statement, and I've quoted it time and again, but I never saw it in the context that it was written, because in the context that this statement is written, and I'm paraphrasing for you, that he lets his prophets know what's coming ahead. He speaks to his prophets ahead. He speaks to his people ahead. You know what that's tied to? A pestilence and plague. In other words, God said, I'll let you know for things that are up ahead. Well, that's not out of context, because when you reach over in John chapter 16, you find that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth and show you things to come. Write this down. Management expects accountability. All managers should expect accountability. One day, we're all going to give an account for the deeds done in the body, the Bible says. Now, follow this. When you read this in the Word of God, you find this one gentleman who said, you know what? I built these great big barns, and I filled them all up with all of the things that I have done, and I went to school for it, and I built these barns, and it's my money and all that kind of stuff. He said, you know what? I got so much right here. I'm going to tear down these barns, and I'm going to build bigger ones because of what I am doing. And the Bible says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. There is a day of accountability coming. Somebody said, well, somebody hurt me, Pastor, and I haven't got over it. Release them, let it go, and move on, because there will come a day of accountability. Look at Luke chapter 16 real quick. I think it's on your paper. Jesus told his disciples that there was a rich man. Watch this. Follow this. This one right here is going to probably knock you right out of your seat. Luke 16, verse 1 and 2. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be my manager any longer. I'm going to let you in on a secret. God fires people for mismanagement. Y'all want to breathe a minute? God fires people for mismanagement. Oh, my God's a good God. Yes, he's a good God, and he fires people for not handling his resources right. Oh, we may not recognize it. I'm always amazed that when things happen, people never put all the puzzle pieces together. They don't tithe, and then they ask God for a blessing. God says, you're not getting a blessing. In fact, you're bringing a curse upon yourself, and then they wonder why everything's going crazy in their life. I'll tell you why. You broke the principle. You'll never break the principle. You will break yourself on the principle. Mismanagement is greed. And greed, mismanagement, over many years. Watch what I'm about to tell you. I'm about to bring it practical here. Because we found out in recent days, as you well know, and I started turning stuff over in my house and looking, where is it made? Out of the 6 or 8 things I picked up, Almost half of them were all made in China. Now, I'm not against the Chinese, and I'm not against being able to have stuff made all over the place. Probably wearing something that was made somewhere else and probably reading out of a Bible that was made in China. I don't know. But here's my problem, and here's the problem for America. We are now become the slave instead of the lender. Mismanagement over the past several years has caused us to send our manufacturing to other nations and neglect our own need to sustain ourselves. And now we are beholding for our antibiotics and medication and masks and everything else to people that are manufacturing stuff overseas. I want to let you know something. If we mismanage it here in America, we will be a slave to every other nation, the Bible says. And let me make this statement. It's on your paper. Write it down. Whatever you mismanage, you lose. If you mismanage that marriage, if you mismanage that home, if you mismanage your money, you're going to lose it. Look back over your life at the stuff that you didn't take care of like you should. Oh, stupid old truck breaking down on me. Did you ever change the oil? I can't get no help up in here. Oh, stupid old thing. It's just rusting and fall apart. It looks so nasty. I need a new one. Why? Did you ever wash it? Did you ever check the plugs? Did you ever get up underneath? Did you kick the tire? Did you keep the tires aired up? Ooh, this is all up in your stuff, isn't it? I'm talking about management, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why many people want more, and they don't get it is because, and then they get mad at God. God, you don't supply my need. He's not supplying your need. He's letting you know, take what you've got in your hand and manage that, and then I'll give you something else. I promise you, as a young pastor, in my first pastorate with 10 people sitting in front of me, I preach no different now than I did way back then. I got discouraged over the fact that I'm looking at 10 people every week and less than that on a Wednesday night when I started pastoring a church many years ago. My first pastor, and I called up one of my mentors and talked to him. He's going on to be in heaven right now. And he told me, he said, Joey, whatever you do, don't save your best messages and your passion for a large crowd. Preach just like the place is on fire and there's 10,000 people. And that's what I've learned and done all of my life. Whatever you mismanage, you lose. Now get ready. I'm coming down to an end. Here's what the book of Proverbs says. Don't you love Proverbs? I call it the castor oil of the Bible. Proverbs 13 and 22. This is what the Bible says. A good man saves up an inheritance for his great grandchildren. Are you managing what you've got so that your great grandchildren will say, you know what, great granddaddy was a good guy. He left me some property. He left me this. He was managing his stuff. He didn't consume it all upon himself. I heard one movie star here not too long ago that said, I didn't leave anything to my children. Well, that's a foolish man. You know what? Your kids are going to rise up and hate you. Now, what does that mean? If you teach them to save, if you teach them to manage, if you teach them to conserve, then they'll have something for their children and their children's children. You know what I tell my staff around here all the time? Hey, turn the lights off. If you're in there, turn them on. That's fine. When you leave, turn them off. Turn the air where it needs to be. Lock it up. Pick up the trash. Do what you need to do. And you know what? I do the same thing. Because management of this house is what I'm supposed to do. And if I mismanage it, I'll lose it. Come on, pastors. Come on, church people. Come on, your house has got weeds up to your hips, and everybody else is grooming their house, and they're hating you as the believer who walks out the door with your Bible to go to church every day because you haven't cut your grass lately. Ooh, management. If you don't manage it, you're going to lose it. I don't care if it is grass. Whatever that it is, use it and manage it. Listen, God, write it down. Godly management. I done lost how many? Have I got anybody online or am I talking to zero? I just wondering. Godly management means living. I want you to get this right here. Write this down. This is an important principle right now. Godly management means living in your means, but giving beyond your means.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.